This episode of the Inner Hoe Uprising is sponsored by Simple Contacts.
Welcome to the Inner Hoe Uprising,
the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black polyamorous feminist hoe living in New York City.
Me, Rebecca, one fat black pansexual whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
And Akua, an intersectional feminist hoe who specializes in all things mental health and all things carefree black girl.
Yes. We have two types of episodes on this here show, group eps and interview eps. On interview eps, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, have one of my rotating co-hosts to talk to folks with insightful perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, and race. And on group episodes, all of the hosts come together to chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a group episode, and that's why all of these lovely folks are here.
We in here, guys.
We miss you, Rob.
Yes.
We do. Take care, kid.
On this episode, we'll be talking some current events like the FOSTA-SESTA bills that are being passed by the House and the Senate, and then also Young MA's porn directorial debut.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about some crazy ass instances in our sex lives, like my dom sub situation and Akua's celibacy situation.
What?
And whatever Rodeca has to say.
Nothing.
What? My what situation?
What? Nah, there's nothing.
And
we'll be over here.
We'll be chatting about you guys' sexual, romantic, and dating lives, like our homie in Uganda who's trying to figure out whether or not they're polyamorous. But before we get into that, we have a couple of quick little short segments that we're going to get into, and they are
Bay of the Week,
which is where we talk about people who we find sexually attractive or just attractive in general.
Hoe of the Week.
We shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week,
which is where we give you guys some advice on how to take care of yourselves.
Pay a hoe,
which is where we beg for money. And then we have our main segments, Fuck That, Fuck Me, and Fuck You.
And if you would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoeUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag PodIn so other people can see it.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to ihupodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm. Woo woo.
Bay of the Week.
Who?
I mean, I like the fact that Young M.A. is directed porno, and I've kind of wanted to fuck Young M.A. for a while, so I just make mine Young M.A. And then also Akua will be getting Young M.A. on the show one day.
Because I was going to say Young M.A., and I was like, everyone's going to think that I'm copping out, but here you are, just stealing it, huh? That's fine.
No, but honestly, yeah. I've never paid Young M.A. much attention, and then when I was like doing the research for the segment and listening to her talk in the video, I was like, all right, so she can turn me out. Like,
she's just a nigga from New York whose face you would sit on.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, she's just.
I never realized that before, so she can be Bay of the Week.
Yeah, Young M.A.
There you go.
Yeah. Next segment, Hoe of the Week. Our Hoes of the Week this week are five lovely podcasts. So we got Tea with Queen and Jay, Bag Ladies, Queer Walk, Boston Come Through, and Marsha's Plate, who all shouted us out in some capacity for that episode that we did with Kim.
Hey, yeah,
which people love.
Yeah,
that episode was Sex, Romance, and Disability, so I would caution you all to take a listen to it if you have not listened to it yet, because it's dope as fuck. Our next segment is Self-Care Tip of the Week. Rebecca, you had one.
I was about to say, I don't even want to do mine. I mean, it was gonna be weird. I don't know.
I'm just gonna say that it says, are you washing your hair correctly?
Because, like, okay,
that's
and
a
it's
good
very
thing
quick
to talk about.
Like,
yeah,
I realize that there's a difference between the way I feel about my hair or the way my scalp feels and everything feels from when I go to a salon and when I wash it myself. I think I don't give myself as much like time in the shower. Mm. Like, so like I really this time, because I've had my hair in protective styles over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. So like my hair needed to breathe. Mm-hmm. So I was like, let me give myself a little salon spa treatment. And I like really massage my scalp, and I got like a scalp like massager thing. Ooh. And like really let it sit there, and I deep treated and did all that type of stuff. But it's like, I think I've never felt my hair so like not soft, but like soft, but also clean, just basically just very clean. And
the
I'm realizing
clean and moisturized.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. There's like, it could be feel squeaky, and then like now you know it's not moisturized. But it felt like, I feel like, just take the time to like actually set an hour, stay in the shower, let it steam, let it, you know, just relax.
Yeah.
And do your hair.
Wash
it. Do it correctly.
Yeah.
So that's what I did, guys.
It's a good self-care.
I had a good week.
Great. And your hair looks lovely.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
The next segment is Pay a Ho. This is where we beg for money that we desperately need. So if you guys would like to help sustain the Inner Ho Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so by going to innerhouprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Ho. You can also go directly to paypal.me/innerho. It takes you to the exact same place. Get ready for new merchandise. But until then, you can buy old merchandise by clicking the merchandise tab on innerhouprising.com. And you can use the sponsor codes used in this, previous, and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you do support us. You can now also support a Ho on a monthly basis by subscribing to us on Patreon and receive perks while you're doing it. This is an easy way to throw some dollars monthly towards the show, because studios, transportation, and events ain't cheap. And Wong has a child now, guys, and he has to, there's formula that needs to be fucking bought. So get on Patreon. If you're able and you'd be so kind, you can visit our Patreon, which is patreon.com/innerhouprising, and donate $2, which will give you access to private IHU gatherings like the barbecue we're doing soon. As well as our undying love and affection. And for the price of $5 a month, you can get all that, as well as access to some exclusive behind the scenes video content, like the full interview with Kim, because Kim had a lot to say.
Yes.
And you only heard a fraction of that. It's about 30 minutes in there that you did not hear, so head over to Patreon, you can hear it. You can also donate less or more, so anything from $1 a month to $1 zillion a month, anything is appreciated. This is just a more consistent way to pay a Ho, pretty much spending what you would for Apple Music but once a month, and to help your favorite hoes.
And speaking of support, want to help us out and win some free IHU merch at the same damn time?
Yeah, of course you do. I would love to.
We're running a special contest for spring, and all you have to do is enter. All you have to do to enter is rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. By doing this, you're helping us pop up on lists that Apple curates. This will help expose us to new listeners and sustain us in the long run. If you want to participate, it's easy. All you have to do is follow the link that will be in the description of this episode, then hit the purple subscribe button at the top of the page, scroll down to rating and reviews, click the button write a review, tap 5 stars, write a nice title and review, a nice one, nothing crappy.
I mean, if it's 5 stars and you're like, I hate them, sure.
That's kind of weird, but all right, guys.
I'll take it.
Sure. Write a title and review. And finally, hit send. We will randomly be selecting a winner who we will announce by the end of the spring, so stay tuned.
And if you find that your review is not going through for some reason, it's probably because your nickname is too generic. So if your nickname is Dan, just cancel the review, go back, make it Dan67592, and then hit review again. Make it that. Definitely. Literally make that. It that. And before we get into the actual show, we're going to take a moment to read a message from our friends and us. Are you a podcaster, an aspiring podcaster, or a podcast fan? Do you love Black community? Are you located in or around New York City and down for a good ass time? If you answered yes to any or all of the above, then damn, have we got an event for you. On April 21st, 2018, from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. in Manhattan, New York, Inner Ho Uprising will be partnering with our good friends, Tea with Queen and Jay, and some of our other great podcast friends to bring you Pod in Live NYC, a free party where you can kick it with some of your favorite people of color podcasters. So we'll drink, we'll laugh, I might twerk on your face. No, Rodecca's gonna twerk on your face.
I will.
And I will challenge you to a Millie Rock battle. Yes. We'll see what the fuck happens. The only thing you need to do is RSVP on Eventbrite, following the link in the description of this episode. And spots are filling up quickly. I believe they're at 85% capacity at the time that we're reading this. So don't forget to RSVP. And if you have RSVP'd, don't forget to, like, come.
Yeah,
you know?
Like, don't just take up space that somebody else exactly would have showed up for.
Come through, son.
And bring a friend.
Yeah.
Bring 2 friends.
Bring all your friends. Yeah, bring the only cute friends. You don't know, we don't want no uglies up in there.
You know
there,
which
boy.
One of your friends is the ugly friend. Don't bring them.
Damn. So if you're the ugly friend, do you not bring yourself?
Damn. I don't know, man.
I mean, we still want you to come to Pod in Live NYC. So.
Is it really true
just
that like,
just don't come up to me while you're there. Don't you be up in my face with your ugly face.
And none of your friends are the ugly friend, then you're the ugly
no,
friend.
No, it means that you're all beautiful.
Okay, good.
Yeah, what? Like if because I looked around my friends.
That's how I feel about you
I
guys.
I was like, you guys are all beautiful, and it doesn't mean it's me.
You no. are beautiful. In every single way.
It's a cool I have the wrong word.
Yeah, I don't know what a cool was saying.
I don't know.
But I was like, I'm going to keep going. Oh. Now we're going to get into the actual show with our first segment, which is
Fuck That,
our current events segment. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking about FOSTA, SESTA, which is this U.S. Senate and U.S. House bill that have implications on the conversation around sex trafficking and the conversation around sex workers in this country. So we have someone who's very knowledgeable in that area, so she'll actually be on the line and we'll be asking her some questions about the passing of these two bills. We have Michaela Peyton Berry, a multidisciplinary artist and sales associate at the Museum of Sex. Her and her team are throwing RIP Craigslist a benefit performance for the Sex Workers Project. The event is in response to the passing of the U.S. Senate and House bill Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act, aptly known as SESTA, and Allow States and Victims to Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act, also known as FOSTA. In theory, these laws are meant to protect folks from sex trafficking, but they have some deeper and more insidious implications for folks who are involved in sex work. They were signed into law on April 11, 2018, and we're going to talk about them and what they mean with Michaela.
Ooh.
Hey, Michaela.
Hey, welcome, Michaela.
Hey.
So if you could just start off by giving us a brief explanation of what FOSTA is, or what these two acts are, FOSTA and SESTA, and basically what do they mean on the surface and what are the actual implications for sex workers and sex trafficking?
Yeah, so basically SESTA and FOSTA, SESTA stands for Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act. It's also referred to as S.1693. Mm-hmm. That's the name of the bill. And then FOSTA, which allows states and victims to fight online sex trafficking act. That's actually H.R. 1865, but that's not what the important thing, but those are the bill names. Mm-hmm. But basically it will force online web platforms to police their users' activities much more than before, so where sex is even remotely mentioned, we could see issues of more Instagram posts being taken down, more Facebook posts being taken down, really just kind of invading our right to use free speech. But right now what it's doing is really affecting consensual sex workers and those who are involved in sex work. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing, or one of the biggest things, now a couple of things have happened, but the biggest thing that kind of sparked outrage or conversation about this was the removal of the Craigslist personal ads. Mm-hmm. And what's really funny about that is whenever I talk about, you know, this bill and I talk about the work that we're doing, people are always like, well, good thing those things, you know, that the Craigslist personal ads got taken down, and like, good thing that Backpage got taken down, because this is all about prostitution.
Yeah.
And like, you know, we don't, we as a society, like, don't, sex work is not good. It's, you know, super taboo and we don't care about it. And there's a lot of feminist dialogue that happens that doesn't include the like inclusion of sex workers. Mm-hmm. And what's, you know, and so what Backpage and Craigslist were able to do, while it definitely was not perfect, gave consensual sex workers a platform to effectively and safely communicate with clients. Mm-hmm. And warn each other about clients that they should be like, they should avoid. Mm-hmm. It was an online, you know, it was an online forum in which people with similar interests could interact with each other. Mm-hmm. And now that's being taken away. There are fewer positions, there are fewer spaces, there are fewer platforms for consensual sex workers, which like people don't think is a thing, but like is a thing. Mm-hmm. To do their jobs. And this is disproportionately affecting, unsurprisingly, queer people of color. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, disproportionately experiencing the loss of these kind of sites. Mm-hmm. And the loss of the ability to warn each other about clients that maybe were abusive or violent, and just build a client base that they can effectively and safely communicate with.
I know in your initial email that you sent to me where you were pitching this event that you were doing, you had mentioned like this one key statistic, and I don't know if you can fire it off at the top of your head, but just about how when Craigslist erotic services section was up between 2002 and 2010, sex work murder rates were like down significantly.
Yeah, I don't have the exact statistic, but there's like a couple of articles and reports that have come out, some of which the Sex Workers Project have like worked on. Mm-hmm. That kind of echo that. And so what we're really, that's the biggest thing, is like the safety of people who are societally already seen as less than is, mm-hmm, now compromised even further. Mm-hmm. And like, we can't allow that to happen. I was talking about this with my mom, and she was like not understanding, you know, why I cared so much about this, and I was realizing that just like your feminism like has to start kind of at like seeing the worth humanity and just the like and respecting sex workers. Mm-hmm. Like if that's not included in it, like you can be as intersectional as you want, but if mm-hmm. you're not including this important, you know, demographic, then like what, like what's going on?
Yeah, you're eliminating people. Just to note that number was 17.4, so that was the reduction of assigned female at birth sex worker murder rates being down between 2002 and 2010 when Craigslist erotic services section was active.
But also this is doing is like this is an immigrants' rights issue as well. Mm-hmm. Because people were able to talk, you know, and create clientele safely online, then a lot of sex workers, consensual sex workers, are undocumented. Mm. So just removing of that, I've been working with the Black Alliance for Just Immigration kind of on the fringes with them on creating some more kind of connection between them and this sex workers project. Mm-hmm. Because it's really going to deeply affect the livelihood of many people that we don't normally think about, which is why we don't care about it, because mm-hmm. we're not thinking about these people mm-hmm. normally.
What has the general sentiment been like for, or I guess in the sex worker community or amongst people who are doing activism around this issue since Craigslist and Backpage were shut down? Like, there seemed to be like kind of like a fervor and people were like super scared for what the next steps were.
Yeah, people have been super scared, and we need like making sure, and what's cool about the event, not to like jump that gun and like talk about the event, but what's cool is that we're donating to the Sex Workers Project, and Sex Workers Project donates a lot of legal aid and like personalized like legal aid to sex workers, and that's really what we need, because now that these laws are being put in place, people need to be able to understand them. Mm-hmm. And that's something that SWP does.
Tell us a little bit about the event itself.
Yeah, sure. So it's a couple of I'm an employee of the Museum of Sex, and it was another employee who kind of brought this to my attention and was like, I want to raise money for this. How do we do this? And we got together. We're almost all Museum of Sex employees who, you know, have external interests, and are putting together a Craigslist cabaret. We are getting a lot of performers. We're almost fully booked, but we're still waiting on a couple of more. Most of them are sex workers. And we're going to give them a Craigslist misconnection to base their act on. We've gotten some really incredible donations for a raffle, like really cool sex toys, really fun photography services and stuff like that. And so there's going to be a lot of like fun and watching those acts, but also like we're going to have representatives from SWP talking about the organization. We're going to have literature available. We're going to make sure this is educational, and then all of the profits are going to go to SWP.
Dope. And we yeah. will be there as Inner Hoa Uprising, and we are very yes. excited and happy that you are doing the work that you do around this issue.
Yeah, you know, people have been jumping on board, and really we have some representatives from the New York City stripper strike coming.
Nice.
Holly Hoods, I think, is coming. Awesome. And we have some really awesome porn stars that are going to be performing, and we have some stand-up comedians, and it's going to be a really fun night that I think is going to actually raise a lot of money for SWP. That's our hope.
Sweet. I'm mad excited to be there.
Yeah, and it's going to be great.
How can folks attend?
So we have an Instagram. I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word or not, but we're called the Cunt Collective.
I say that word all the time.
That's, yeah.
Okay.
That's
my middle
great.
Name.
Yeah. So great. I was like, I don't know what the rules are. but on Instagram, we are Cunt Collective, but there's like a period after each letter in cunt. So C period U period N period T period collective. That's our Instagram. And then you can like us on Facebook, the Cunt Collective. And then our event is up there. There's a link to the Eventbrite in there as well. Tickets are $15 pre-sale and then $20 at the door.
Sounds great. Awesome. We will see you there. And we hope that all of you listeners in the New York City area also get to attend.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Cool. Thank you so
thank
much,
you.
Michaela.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So that was really good. I hope that you guys took something away from that. And I think it's just important to understand that with as we're burying.
As you're putting restrictions on ways sex workers can communicate and ways sex workers can work, that leads them to become more vulnerable and for more people to be able to take advantage because they have to go through other methods and they have to go through other venues to continue their livelihood, really. The idea behind decriminalizing sex work is that there will become kind of statutes and rules and kind of like labor laws that would then protect sex workers from being taken advantage of. So like, you know how you go to work and mm-hmm. they're supposed to post your wages and your hours. Mm-hmm. If sex work is now quote unquote legitimate work, there are these laws, there are these rules that are hard fast to protect sex workers. Mm-hmm. So that now, you know, if you know your customer doesn't pay, there's a place you can go to advocate for yourself mm-hmm. that you'll be backed up for. If you know, if you have a manager or not a pimp, because we don't want to call that in, but you know, if you have like a middleman, you know, and they're not giving you your wages, you can advocate, you can sue, you can file mm-hmm. for things. There is the law on your side to protect you so that mm-hmm. there aren't traffickers, there aren't people who can, you know, seep into those vulnerabilities mm-hmm. and take advantage of mm-hmm. you.
And those people are then being checked because yes. those people yes. are going to exist regardless.
Exactly.
Checks sex and balances. Work will always yes. exist.
Yes. That's the idea behind decriminalizing sex work, to decrease sex trafficking or the vulnerabilities of sex workers.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So keep that in mind when people are talking shit about sex workers on Twitter, bro. What's our next current event?
So Young M.A. Woo. Is directing an all-female adult film, porno, yes. for Pornhub.
Yes.
Yes. Nice. Young M.A. is partnering with Pornhub, and she's creating this film. The film is titled The Gift.
That's an interesting name.
Mm-hmm. And it is an all-female lesbian porno. Mm. For some reason, every article said this. It features 7 women. Why is that so surprising? Like, I've seen pornos with 20 women. Niggas.
Yeah,
like,
you never just typed in lesbian orgy on Pornhub at 3 o'clock in the morning?
It's just a lot of limbs. It's great. Yeah.
You never typed in pussy-looking circle? Is like, it just me?
Pussy-looking circle. That's so specific, but it's perfect, and I need to look it up
it's
now.
It's good. It's quality content.
So, the premise of it, I'm going to give you my summation of the premise, and then I'm going to give you a quote from Young M.A. The premise from the director is that a young girl is running through a mansion, basically getting turned out.
Mm. Nice, nice.
The quote from Young M.A. when asked to describe the premise, quote, "It's about a girl, a virgin. It's her birthday, and a friend kind of like sends her off to this place where she's mysteriously walking through different rooms and stuff and finding out, you know, paradise."
Mm. Mm. The Gift.
That's lit.
This is her birthday gift.
That's yes. really nice.
Nice.
That's nice. I kind of can't wait to watch this.
Yeah. No, I'm definitely bookmarking this and watching exactly. this several times.
Wait, the premium for content? Yes. Oh, nah. So, never mind.
Yeah, we'll get into that. So the film is quote unquote premium content, which serves as the first edition for the series, their new Visionary Directors Club series. And the series is intended to diversify porn production and create content specifically for Pornhub's female viewership.
Yes.
So this premium content, this title, means we're going to have to pay for it.
I feel different ways about this because, mm-hmm. I mean, we just talked about sex work. Obviously, porn stars deserve to get their just due yes, for what absolutely. They're doing. But I feel like Pornhub is in a space where, I don't know. Well, like, with their ads, they should be able to pay.
Well, this is why. This is probably also why they're going to have to pay, because one, they're paying Young M.A. for her time, mm-hmm. which costs money. Two, yeah.
Pornhub can afford it.
Yeah, that's what I feel about
my
Pornhub.
$1 no, is but not going
that's
to.
How I feel
but
too.
But two, Young M.A.'s music is going to be featured in key scenes, which means like royalties. Like, if people are watching this, you have to pay her for her money in it every time
sense.
It's played,
that
and
makes
that
sense.
That starts to add up.
Yeah. That's true. That is true.
I'm just thinking of like that one deep throat line and then just like being the perfect scene. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
This movie already sounds great.
Yeah.
So the music is from her EP, Her Story, which was released last April, and I haven't heard it, so not to throw shade, but
it was released last April. I thought it was being released already.
No, right, so when I Googled it, that was April of 2017, and we are in 2018, a whole year ago.
Wow.
What?
And there was a lot of articles that were like upcoming, and some say it was already released. So I had to Google it. Like, so which one is it? And yeah, it's been released.
Mm. What the fuck?
Well, isn't that like her original thing with the song?
I don't know.
That's the one that made her famous, you know?
I don't know. I don't know. Right? I'm sorry. Wow, that's weird.
I feel
isn't
like
it
was a single and then the EP dropped and only
why are we
her
all acting
fans?
Like we were waiting for Young and May's album to drop?
I felt like I was.
I actually was excited because I saw on Twitter, like, she posted a freestyle yesterday and I thought that this was a part of that and it was a good ass freestyle or something. I don't know if it was a real freestyle.
Rap is different. It moves in different times. Like, they could drop an EP, but like their hottest single is off of a random thing. Yeah. Like,
or put on their next album.
Yeah. Just drop anything.
I just thought something else was coming out and I was like, oh shit, like it's the lit summer music. I was just excited.
I thought so too until I read that it was debuted last year.
I'd actually be surprised if she dropped the album this year because she doesn't have enough hype around her right now.
You would be surprised if she did?
Yeah. Well, she has to like build the hype up again to drop a whole like album.
You know how hard it is to build up hype, nigga?
Yeah, that's why she dropped it last year during her hype.
She is directing porn now.
Yeah, there you go.
There's the hype. So where's the album, son?
Buy the one that no one ever bought in the first place. Nah, that's fucked up, but I don't think anybody bought that. Because nobody even knew that release.
Support people, bro.
No, for real. I'm going to watch this.
How are we going to get Young M.A. on the show, son? Like, we're talking all this shit, bro. Like, what the fuck?
No. It's not.
Take it out. Like, it's not shit, man.
No shade. It's not shade.
It's not shit, man.
It's not shade, but I just did not know. That's all I'm saying. I didn't know. You know, they didn't play any other singles, and that could have been the fault of marketing. Why Samantha dying? I'm talking. Bitch, I'm talking.
I'm listening.
That could have been, you know, the fault of marketing. That could have been the fault of, you know, radio stations.
It's not,
you know,
her fault.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man, they hate, but they broke, though. that's the song, right?
Like, no, I don't. What?
Is that not the song? Okay. I know
that
is the Juan song. Juan is nodding over there. I'm like, thank you. I need the validation.
Affirmation. But yeah, I couldn't get a debut of when this is coming out on Pornhub.
Yo, is this an old story, son?
It came
Did
out
this four- happen last year?
No, it came out 4 days ago, bitch.
I'm just concerned. Like,
this is the most confused current event story. They're like, wait, is any of this current?
Is it everybody
2017
knows
right now?
Why are they talking about Young M.A.? No, just kidding, baby. I love you. Come on my show, please.
Yes. Please. You're relevant to us.
I'm gonna sit on your face. Okay, let's.
This is her clout right here. We're giving it to her.
This
She's
all.
Back. She's back.
Hey, I'm following you because I heard about you on Inner Hall Uprising.
If you get a spike of like 50 followers, that was us.
That was us.
Don't play. You better credit us.
It's me and all my
on her
accounts.
Story part two coming out in 2016.
Story part
apparently.
Two. Oh man. Go on to read some advertisements now.
Nom, 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 nom.
There is a million things demanding your time. The fuckboy trying to text you, your 9-to-5 job. Not else for me, because I don't have much of a life. But contact lenses shouldn't be one of those things demanding
your
time.
Your baby crying, asking for apple juice.
There you go. Yeah, there it is.
In the background of your Instagram live story.
Yeah.
I just want juice, Mom.
That's why we're excited about a great new company called Simple Contacts that is making the process of renewing your prescription and buying contacts very simple. You might be thinking, isn't buying contacts already simple? But I feel like, nah, it's not. They're actually pretty cumbersome to buy. Apparently there's a law in the United States that requires anyone who wears contacts to have a new prescription written every year in order to be able to buy lenses, even if your vision hasn't changed for 15 fucking years and if you have perfectly healthy eyes. Wong is nodding, man. He's like,
Wong knows the struggle.
I gotta do this every year.
Because you have to
go
back to your optometrist.
That's annoying.
That's copay.
I hate that guy, Dr. Cooperstein. I don't want to see him every year.
My eyes are just fine, Dr. Cooperstein.
Exactly.
It's one. It's still one. It's not one or two. It's still one. Give me my damn contact.
This can also be very expensive, time-consuming, and people put it off because of that. Because who's trying to do that all the time? Which can cause eye issues from wearing old lenses. A bad habit that most contact lens wearers are guilty of because they can't get to the doctor or afford a new prescription. So,
Simple Contacts is the most convenient way to get your contact lens prescription renewed and stock up on your brand of contact lenses, because everyone has their favorite.
Nice.
Get this. Instead of taking the time off and spending hours in the doctor, because no one wants to do that. Mm-hmm. No one has time. We're all busy. Just to renew your prescription, you could do it now online in under 5 minutes. This is vision care for the 21st century.
That's lit. This is for the Instagram generation, as they say.
Of course.
The millennials, who have no patience.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Everything's millennials.
Gotta do it in 5 minutes or not gonna do it.
So here's how it works. Take a quick self-guided vision test from your phone or computer, because we all have those. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor in 24 hours, and you receive your renewed prescription and reorder your brand of contacts.
That's cool.
If you have an unexpired prescription, you can use them too. Just upload a photo of it or your doctor's info and order your lenses in minutes for a great price. They do all the hard work for you, so get your lazy ass on here, you know? Buying more contacts have never been easier, and why should it be hard in the first place, right? That's why Simple Contacts was created.
Simple Contacts offers every brand of lenses, and their prices are unbeatable. Plus, the prescription is just $20. Compare that with an annual appointment, which can be up to $200 without insurance. The life that
you
I
know
live.
You know niggas don't got no insurance out here.
You know,
you know
me.
We don't got no fucking insurance.
That's why I see
niggas
my
don't
optometrist.
Got insurance or $200. Exactly. I got $20, though.
I got $20, though. Get this. Shipping is free, and best of all, our listeners get $30 off their first Simple Contacts order. To save $30 on your lenses, just go to simplecontacts.com/inner or enter the code INNER, I-N-N-E-R, at the checkout.
We want to mention that this isn't a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You still need those occasionally, but it's the most convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder your contacts. Again, check out Simple Contacts and get $30 off by going to simplecontacts.com/inner or just enter code INNER at checkout. That's I-N-N-E-R. Save yourself time, money, and a headache with Simple Contacts. All right, let's go on to the next segment now.
Yeah.
Which is
Fuck Me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Go ahead,
you didn't
Samantha.
Write anything, so you go first.
What do
you mean,
say,
go ahead, Samantha?
I'm
interested.
You guys
I'm ready.
First. I want to hear it.
I'm like, who's Dom and who?
Because you can't just write this shit and be like, you go first, person who has nothing. Nah, they got to see yours. Let's go.
Let's go.
Okay, fine. Whatever.
What's the tea?
So I've always been low-key interested. I don't really think I'm like interested in BDSM for like the pain aspect of it or anything like that. Because who's really trying to get hurt out here or anything?
I kind
of
am, but
niggas. No, yeah, a lot of people are.
Yeah.
No shade. No kink shaming here. But 2 seasons ago when we did the BDSM episode, I don't know if you guys even listened to that. Okay, this fucking bitch. Why is she on the show, son? I know a cool listen.
That was a joke. Oh. I thought we were talking about the listeners. Wow. I'm trash. Thanks.
Did you hear that episode?
Yes.
Okay. So on that episode, Gina was talking about the fact that she was a bratty sub, and I was just like, I like that.
It me. It me.
Exactly. Like, I just feel like I get like that in terms of a relationship and during sex, but I never actually defined it, and I never took it further than, you know, like little dirty talk, but nothing past that or anything like that. So I don't know. I was just talking to one of my sexual partners at the moment, and I was just like, I want to serve you.
Yes.
Yes.
And I think he said like, foo. Or something like that. And I was like, no sexual.
I love that.
Food? Because I'm ready. Chicken.
McDonald's?
You sound like he was down
we
for
know
it,
your
even
ass
if
can't
it was just
cook.
Food.
Like, yeah. He was down for whatever. No, I was like, sexually. And he was like, are you serious? And I was like, yeah. So since then, we've been just like talking about like what that means and like hard limits and what we want out of the situation or whatever. We haven't like necessarily done anything yet. I have like some things that I've just had from like having sex or whatever, like, you know, like niggas are vanilla, but like they're not like OD vanilla,
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah,
so like I've
yeah.
had handcuffs before or whatever. I bought some rope and like a paddle. I mostly bought the paddle because it said bitch and it was pink and I felt that. So it's actually just hanging in my room right now. I'm not doing anything with it, but one day I will be spanked.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we're just gonna see where that goes. I kind of just want to like dress up in something really sexy and clean, but be told that I'm cleaning improperly and things like that.
But not in here, guys.
Will you then continue to keep cleaning improperly?
Yeah, because I'm a bratty sub.
He'd be like, sweeping, I start mopping and shit.
I'm going to spill the milk.
Yeah.
And you're going to spill your
milk.
I'd
be the person to like take it seriously and like, wait, is there a spot here? Like, wait, did I get it? that's yeah, I'm not built for this.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I feel that.
My other little tidbit was that I went on a date to a planetarium and that was really nice.
Yeah,
not with the same person at all.
Dating.
Yeah. But yeah, no, that was cool. We had, me and this person had sex, and then I was just like, okay, he's probably never going to hit me up ever again, and I don't care. And then he was just like, hi, the next day, and I was like, oh, hey.
Oh, shit, you're still here. Damn.
Exactly.
Hi. It's that white blinking man meme.
Just like, oh.
Exactly.
I thought we did this already.
You care? Right,
let's go on a date.
Exactly. And then before, I think he was just like, I don't know, something happened and it just couldn't happen. Oh, he was talking about where he lives, and I was like, nigga, I'm not going. I'm not going there, nigga. And then he was like, oh, I'll just find something else to do. And then he hit me up. I was actually hanging out with you that night and we saw a terrible, terrible comedy show.
Oh, God.
But he hit me up and he was just like, you smoke weed? And I was like, here the fuck we go. Like, no, I'm not coming over to smoke weed, nigga. But I didn't say that yet, but he kept typing and he was just like, oh, because I wanted to know if you wanted to get high and go to a planetarium with me. And I was like, wait, this has turned into the cutest thing ever. What do you mean? Yeah, I smoke weed. I don't smoke weed.
But I want to go to a planetarium, so yeah,
exactly.
I smoke weed.
Yeah.
So yeah, I smoke weed.
Do not shrink yourselves. Do not shrink yourself.
Then he tries
for the
to
man.
Pass it to be like, what the fuck? I don't smoke weed. Let's go to this planetarium, though. Let's
you
go
get
inside.
There, like, nigga, weed, what? No, that makes me paranoid. Let's planetarium, though. Like,
exactly.
Literally, that's why I got a lot to get there. Got a lot to get there.
So those are two little cute things that are happening in my life right now.
Yay! Nice. Yeah. I like it.
I like when you share, Sam.
Somebody else go.
Roteca, what do you got?
Yeah, I don't know why y'all think I got anything, man.
Oh, you have nothing
to
say.
I mean, I actually, this sounds fucked up, but I said this to him anyway. I actually really missed, like, my boyfriend this week, son. Mm, and that's saying it, like, niggas was not missing him for a bad long. Like, because, okay, I moved to Brooklyn, right? This is the truth. Okay. Mm-hmm. I moved to Brooklyn. And it was something that we talked about for such a long time because I lived really far.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, as soon as I got here, like, he was at my house every day. Like, every day on top of each other. Not sexually, but also sexually. And it was just, like, we were always around each other. And then after a while, it was just, like, why are you in my house before I get in my house? Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? So, like, I texted him. And I said to him, like, I said that this time around, I was going to be brutally honest. I was just like, yeah, can we just, like, not see each other for the week? Because I just need to breathe. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, I was having a conversation with somebody, apparently, that was, like, really brazen to say. But I'm like, you need to just be honest with people if you're not telling people stuff like that.
Good point.
Yeah. So that's what I said, because I figured it was better than me just catching an attitude every 5 minutes about with him being around, which I felt myself doing and also getting ready to do even more when I saw him. So that happened, took a break, and like he tried not to take it personally. He even said, he was like, all right, I'm not gonna take it personally, you know, whatever. We chilled out, and then like I just missed him. I hadn't seen him in a while, and then he came into the house and I was like, yo, you look good, man. You look healthy.
Haven't seen you in a while.
It's like, you know that feeling when you haven't seen someone you really like in a really long time? They just look different. They look like you've got a haircut or something.
Yeah.
And it's like the same thing. Same dude.
Looking all bright and shiny.
I was like, damn, you know, you switched lotion or something. But yeah, so that was cool. So yeah, that was my week, I guess. Okay. I didn't really do anything else. I have school and work and... But I'm alive, so that's cool.
That's the best part.
And actually, yeah, and like it wasn't like a sad week or anything. I've been really trying to do the approach of just like every day and thinking like micro in terms of like wake up, conquer the day, sleep. Wake up, conquer the day, sleep.
Great job.
Instead of like thinking about everything at once and then it's like, oh, universe.
The universe will end in
exactly.
heat death.
Yeah. Exactly. I don't wanna be that person. It's always there in the back of our mind, but
yeah.
It's just conquering it. So it's been pretty good. I'm not gonna complain.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm actually doing the opposite. I'm actually taking the micro approach and trying to look at the bigger picture.
Yes.
Just because the last time we spoke, I was hopeless. And
me too.
I didn't realize how much you know, having a diagnosis of depression compounded with seasonal depression. And really what was pushing me over the edge was PMS, and I didn't realize it till my period came. So like having that and your hormones just fuck with your brain chemistry like that, like I was ready to go. I was making plans to just start driving, leave my baby, not pick him up off the bus. Like it got real. So my period came and I was like, my period came and like the whole world got shiny. I was like, nigga, nigga's got purposes. And I was like, oh, that's why I was acting like a bitch. So but then even after that, you know, my period is gone and left, about to come back again, good god. But like hearing about this new weather like really made me think like, you know, seasonal depression is a thing, because just hearing 80 degrees like uplifted me today. I was outside with no jacket, the sun on my shoulders. I felt invincible walking down the street, like it was. I went to the gym this morning. I got up at 7 o'clock and went to the gym. Like I need whole season to start. Like I need summer to start more than anything. The way I felt was just like amazing. And you know, just using this new positive outlook now that I'm kind of up to be like, you know, I can't, I realize that, you know, I get stuck in the micro every day. I'm in this fog, and you know, it's better for me to look at the bigger picture. So I started making goals for this year. I started like looking at overarching things I need to work on and bring up in therapy to help like change the way my life is going. I'm starting a book club with my friends for self-development to like force myself to reach some of these goals. Like I'm just trying to, I'm good. I'm in a good place and I want to keep that going. I want to keep that going. And a part of that, of being in this good place and keeping that going, is that whole season's approaching, but I think I'm going to leave dick out of it this year. I think I'm going to leave dick out of it this year. I realize that I conflate having consistent dick with living my best life. I want to appreciate living my best life, you know, in the absence of dick, because dick does not control my life. Like
that is a funny line.
In the absence of dick.
Like I'm gonna write a book called
A World of Splendor in the Absence of Dick.
I'm weird. But yeah, I'm like, I can live my best life.
That's the title.
Yes. In the Absence of Dick is perfect. Yes.
We got it, guys. Great job, Akua.
Doing so well.
But yeah, I'm like just in this new perspective, I'm like, I can live my best life traveling. Like I'm traveling so much this year with my friends. I have a new job. I am a paid therapist now, y'all. They is paying me for my worth and my work. Like I've spent so much time thinking that, you know, I'm going to live my best life when my son is older and, you know, I can move more freely. You know, I have a husband to travel the world with, and I keep like, I'm disassociating and I'm on autopilot waiting for 30 and these magical things to happen. And I'm missing all the great things that's happening in my life right now because I have this tunnel vision on and I'm in this fog and I'm looking around like, bitch, you can live your best life right now at 26 with this fupa, all of it. Like you can do it. And you know, that's what I'm just trying to aim for. Trying to live this best life. So you know, I'm taking dick out. I'm going to try, because I'm a lioness hoe.
She's like, wait, before I bind myself to anything, let's be real.
And the dick be too bomb, but I've kind of cut off the current person I was sleeping with. I'm no longer in a relationship. And I'm in the space where I'm single and detached, so I'm going to stay single and detached by any means necessary, because I can't go back to that fuck nigga. It's too much work. Like my whole therapy sessions be about him. Like, you taking off my life, sir. But yeah, so I am single and detached, and I'm going to stay that way. I'm going to try to stay that way for the summer.
Yay.
Let's see how that goes.
What a great fuck me. I am uplifted.
About to say, Akua, you just reminded me that I have also been going to the gym. I went to the gym 3 times this week.
I see.
Three. Get it.
Nice.
Four times be last week, yo.
You on a roll.
Yo.
Nice.
That is a routine. That's what you need. That's a routine.
Exactly. Built a routine, exactly. Y'all. Look at that.
Woo. So happy for you guys. Everything's awesome. All right, ready to go into the next segment?
Yes.
It is Fuck you, the segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives. So if you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihewpodcast@gmail.com.
So up first is from Leah. And they write, "Hey hoes, I hope you guys are glowing. We are. We just said it. We is.
We are.
Yes. Thank you, Leah, for sending that to us. I enjoy your show so much and I appreciate the work you do. I'm a 25-year-old bisexual woman living in Kampala, Uganda. I've been dating this guy for almost 3 years now and things are not going so great right now. When we met, I told him that I was bisexual and he claimed to be okay with it. At the time, I was in love with this other girl, but I decided to give him a chance anyway. About a year into the relationship, he suggested that we have an open relationship, but only wanted me to have sex with girls, not guys. I was okay with this at the time, but then when I started meeting guys I liked and told him about it, he got pretty upset. It's a trap, girl. Mm-hmm. We never really talked about it again after that. Now I find myself moving from one situationship to another, usually without any sex, just talking. This happens when my boyfriend is being emotionally unavailable, which usually leads to a fight because I'm trying to get through to him. I know for a fact that he is also seeing other girls, although he is shady as fuck about it. So I have two questions. Am I polyamorous or am I just a cheater? And two, is there any hope of me fixing this ailing relationship or should I cut my losses and move on? Love, Leah."
Thanks for writing in, Leah. You might be polyamorous, but I don't think anything here is evidence suggesting that. And if you are trying to figure out whether or not you are polyamorous, then you just have to like do that emotional work and like dig deep and figure that out. But it seems like you're just like in a relationship where your boyfriend is emotionally unavailable and thus you're seeking these situationships because of that. And he's seeking something else outside of you too. That might be because he's polyamorous. But either way, he's a dick. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. He's fucked up. But you are also a cheater. That is also what's going on.
But they're in an open okay, no.
They're not in...
They cheating.
Yeah, exactly. And it's weird that he's being shady as fuck about it. I don't know. The second question, my answer to that, I don't think there's any hope. I don't even think that there's a point. Like, if the fact that you're asking us and you're, like, only 25 and it's an ailing relationship, I would just say cut your losses and go. It doesn't really seem like there's anything here that's, like, worth fighting for, in my opinion. You might, obviously, you know way more about your relationship, so if you do think that there's something worth fighting for, then maybe try to go for it. But it seems like the relationship itself was built on very unsturdy foundation, so I would personally just say, like, fuck it. It doesn't seem like either of you are enjoying it.
Yeah, like, to answer the first question, are you polyamorous? I don't know. Are you? Like, that's a question you have to ask yourself. But that also comes from, do you find enjoyment in multiple relationships, and do you feel like that's a lifestyle you want to live? Because monogamy is for some, like me, but not for all. So that's kind of a, like Sam said, the emotional labor you have to do in trying to figure out, you know, how you really approach your relationships or want to approach your relationships. Are you cheating? Yes, because you're talking to guys, and in the very restricted confines that y'all have for your open relationship, you agree to no guys, and now you're talking to a guy. So that is cheating. Is there hope of you fixing this ailing relationship? Again, I agree with Sam, cut your losses. I don't like the way that this relationship described, it sounded like a trap. Like, he wanted to do what he wanted to do and confine and restrict your boundaries so you can enjoy yourself. And if that is, he sounds like a dick. And that's not what you need, especially if polyamory is for you and you need to express that and kind of feel that out. You don't need to be restricted because he's mad that you're talking to girls, guys, animals. No. It means he wants you to be monogamous to him while he does what he does.
Yeah, and it sounds like, I don't know if, like, he just finds you being with a girl, like, acceptable because he finds it sexy or, like, whatever. I don't know, like, there's a lot of, there's stigma around that or whatever, but I just think it's weird that everything about this just screams weird, and it screams like...
It sounds like it's a trap.
Yeah, it just sounds like, are you even having a good time? Are you, like, restricting yourself for his benefit but not, like, actually happy? Because I think that's your answer right there. Because he's, you know, it started off as something where you guys were open, but even the fact that he's not being emotionally available, so you're seeking that in other people. So it's just like, what are you getting out of the relationship?
That's
the most important thing that you should be wondering. Like, what are the benefits and what are the cons? And if it's outweighing it, which is what, I mean, you didn't really list anything that was positive. So that might be where your mind is going. Like, you know, does he make you feel good? Does he validate you? All those things matter. But at the same time, just like, this seems kind of crappy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, cut your losses, man. 25. Yeah. You got time.
Live your best life.
Yeah. Live your best life. Here. Do what you want.
Yeah. All right.
Hope that helps.
Go to the next one.
Yeah.
Hey hoes, I'm a struggling hoe out here getting my feelings ran over by a college athlete. I met him from Tinder and we started with a friends with benefit kind of relationship. The sex is amazing. He pushes my limits sexually, which I love. I've never had sex like this, so basically I'm obsessed. We usually talk throughout the day and fuck at night. He asks me to come see his basketball games and I'll go support. This has been going on since late January. Everything seemed to be going good. Then I went to Miami for spring break. Then when I went to Miami for spring break, this nigga's been acting weird. Of course, I was hoeing it up, a safe hoe. Good nice. For you. But he doesn't know that. We've all seen the Twitter videos and the IG posts about Miami, so I knew he felt some type of way that I was going. Anyways, I came back into town and he texts me back rarely now. We didn't talk for a few days after he read my message and didn't respond, so of course my crazy ass asks him if he wants me to delete his number or what. Of course, he asks why. I never respond. Am I being ridiculous? Should I cut this off or just hit him back up? If I do hit him back up, how do I redeem myself from what I said? I knew going into this that we were really just fucking, but I feel myself getting attached. We also know that we both got hoes. I'm confused and feel like a lame hoe right now. Help. What should I do? A 21-year-old troubled sprung hoe. What?
This is so funny. It's just like, it's kind of like Instagram-y. Yeah, like, yeah, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, what, yeah. Girls do in Miami, son. Yeah. She was out there thotting. And yeah, duh, you were, niggas. Like, fuck that.
I think this is the same vein of just like, live your best life, man. Yeah, fuck if y'all weren't enough friends with, he got hoes, you got hoes. The dick is good. And now we all know that good dick will have you questioning a lot of shit, you know?
Bending boundaries.
I mean, here's something. Good dick will come back, okay? Yeah, like, man. You really don't have to chase after these niggas. Like, and that's speaking from fucking experience, okay? There can be niggas who have cut you off or whatever, and he might come back. And that's fine. Right now, get new dick. Because good dick is also out there if you want new dick.
I think we should take into consideration that there is a friendship aspect to it, which...
He's not being a good friend at all,
yeah,
though.
Exactly.
So fuck him.
So that's why I like, feel like that's why not... you might be sprung on it, where you're thinking about it, but like... Nah, man, just be friends. Cool it all. Be cool as fuck. Just be like, okay, he come around or he doesn't come back around. Do you?
Yeah, exactly. Like, don't chase after him in any regard.
There's no need to.
Like, that whole, when she said, what did she say? Should I redeem myself from what I said?
Nah.
You don't need redemption.
Nah.
That's how you felt.
Yeah.
And even the crazy ass
you didn't even say anything bad, honestly.
If he wants me to delete my number or what, that's not a crazy ass thing to say.
Yeah.
Nigga, do you want to talk or what?
That was fine.
This is dry.
Don't fucking pander to this nigga.
Nope. Nope.
Do not pander this nigga at all.
Nope.
What were her other questions?
If she does hit him back up, what did...
Oh, am I being ridiculous? On what accord? Chasing after him, in my opinion, yeah, that's a bit ridiculous because I don't think that you need to. No insult to you or anything like that. But were you being ridiculous? No, he was acting totally weird. Mm-hmm. And I think he thought you fucked somebody and he's... Or whatever. You don't even have to get into his mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
because
what the reason...
He has a mouth. He could communicate what he thought.
Yeah.
He had
he's
fears.
Actually the one who's being ridiculous.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, instead of saying, hey, I felt A, B, and C, he's like, I'm just going to mute myself and fall back. Nobody got time for falling back ass niggas.
Yeah, it's annoying.
We get too grown
so
for that.
Aggravating.
You
it's
just,
first
really
of all, it's
been...
emotionally abusive, honestly.
Yes.
You don't need that. You really don't. There's just so much more out there, and you're also only 21.
You had fun in Miami. Keep having fun.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Keep doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What happens if he starts hitting back up again? What should she do?
Answer. Keep fucking.
Get the dick,
yeah.
But like, understand that that's a corny ass nigga for forever, and don't ever involve yourself on that level with that nigga ever again.
Sure.
I mean, unless like there's massive growth there, but don't expect it.
You don't have to grow him. You
yeah,
you,
that's one thing that you Ooh. Should definitely remember. If he comes back and he's like, "Oh, I want a relationship or whatever," like he's not ready for one because this nigga. Is not in a relationship with you and fucking ghost you when he's mad that you went to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't make any fucking sense.
I think that's
a misogynist,
because,
honestly.
Yeah, because of perceived notions about what happens in Miami.
Exactly.
You don't know what you're doing.
Not
I mean,
everybody fucks
granted,
in Miami.
Granted, you was hoeing, though. Granted, you was hoeing.
You was hoeing, but like, I wasn't hoeing in Miami.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
And it was lit.
Yeah, it was a great time.
You have good time.
You didn't fuck anybody except for each other. No, we didn't do that.
I had to think back, like, the fuck was we doing in Miami?
You know, we were so drunk half the time, we didn't remember things.
Was we fucking?
Jesus.
Gotta be questioning my life now, like, what happened?
What happens in Miami stays in Miami.
Yes.
All right, let's end this show.
If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, at Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a bitch or check out merchandise. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Hey Akua Girl, HeyAkuaGirl.
And you can follow me at Rebby or Not on Instagram and on Twitter.
You can follow me at SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more, B.
Can we talk about how I was looking for nudes to send and realized all my nudes is a Snapchat?
Yeah. Snapchat like, still has a bomb-ass camera. Like, it's something different than a regular camera, so I still take photos on Snapchat, save it, and then close the app.
I did that before, but I needed them to feel the loss of my presence after the Rihanna thing. Like, this app is just off my phone.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I'm at the go back for my nudes, though.
My good news.
Please rate us 5 stars on iTunes to enter our contest. Bye.
Bye. Bye.